When I was 18 years old, I saw for the first time in my life, I saw a vision of clarity. I saw a comic strip, a three-panel comic strip that, though simple as it seemed, changed me, changed my being, changed who I am, made me who I am, enlightened me. The strip, Garfield. The comic strip was new, no more than maybe a month and a half since inception, since coming into existence. And there it was before me in print. I saw it, a comic strip. What was it called? Garfield. The story here is of a man, a plain man. He is John, but he is more than that. I will get to this later. But first, let us just say he is John, a plain man. Then there is a cat, Garfield. This is the nature of the world here. When I see the world, the politics, the future, the satellites in space and the people who put them there, you can look at everything as a man and a cat. Two beings in harmony and at war. So this strip I saw about this man, John, and the cat, Garfield, you see, yes. It is about everything. This little comic is, oh, lo and behold, not so little anymore. So yes, when I was 18, I saw this comic, and it hit me all at once, its power. I clipped it, and every day I looked at it, and I said, okay, let me look at this here. What is this doing to me? Why is this so powerful? John Arbuckle, he sits here, legs crossed, comfortable in his home, and he reads his newspaper. The news of the world, perhaps. Extends his fingers lightly, delicately. He taps his fingers on an end table and he feels for something. What is it? It is something he needs. It is not there. And then he looks up, slightly cockeyed, and he thinks. His newspaper in his lap now, and he thinks this. Now where could my pipe be? This. I always come to this because I was a young man, I'm older now, and I still don't have the secrets, the answers, so this question still rings true. John looks up and he thinks, now where could my pipe be? And then it happens. You see it. It's almost like divine intervention. Suddenly, it is there, and it overpowers you. A cat smoking a pipe. It is the man's pipe, it's John's pipe, but the cat. This cat, Garfield, is smoking the pipe. And from afar and from someplace near but not clear, near but not clear, the man calls out. John calls out. He is shocked. Garfield, he shouts. Garfield, the cat's name. But let's take a step back. Let us examine this from all sides, all perspectives. And when I first came across this comic strip, I was at my father's house. The newspaper had arrived, and I picked it up for him and brought it inside. I organized his sections for him, and then, yes, the comic strip section fell out from somewhere in the middle, landed on the kitchen floor. I picked up the paper pages and saw up somewhere near the top of this strip. Just like John, I too was wearing an aquamarine shirt. So I thought, ah, interesting. I'll have to see to this later. I snipped out the little comic and held onto it. And 5 days later, I re-examined. And it gripped me. I needed to find out more about this. The information I had was minimal, but enough. An orange cat named Garfield. Okay. That seemed to be the linchpin of this whole operation. Yes, another clue. A signature in the bottom right corner. A man's name. Jim Davis. Yes, I'm on it for sure. So, one, Garfield, orange cat. And two, Jim Davis, the creator of this cat. That curiously plain man. I did not know at the time that his name was John. The strip, you see, had no mention of this man's name. I'd never seen it before. But I had these clues. Jim Davis, Garfield. And then I saw more. I spotted the tiny copyright mark in the upper left corner. Copyright 1978 to... What's this? Copyright belongs to a Paws Incorporated. I used the local library and mail services to track down the information I was looking for. Jim Davis, a cartoonist, created a comic strip about a cat, Garfield, and a man, John Arbuckle. Well, from that point on, I made sure I read the Garfield comic strips. As I read each one, as each day passed, the strips seemed to resonate with me less and less. I sent letters to Paws Incorporated, long letters, pages upon pages, asking if Mr. Jim Davis could somehow publish just the one comic over and over again. It would be meditative, I wrote. The strength of that. Could you imagine? But no response. The strips lost their power, and eventually I stopped reading, but I did not want my perceptions diluted, so I vowed to read the pipe strip over and over again. That is what I call it. Pipe strip. Pipe strip. Everything about it is perfect. I can only describe it as a miracle creation. Something came together. The elements aligned. It is like the compass, the cosmic orchestra, is up there over your head. The immense, enormous void is working all for one thing, to tell you one thing. Gas and rock and purity and nothing. I will say this. When I see the pipe strip, I mean every single time I look at the lines, the colors, the shapes that make up the three-panel comic, I see perfection. Do I find perfection in many things? Some things, I would say. Some things are perfect. This is one of them. I can look at the little tuft of hair on John Arbuckle's head. It is the perfect shade. The purple pipe in Garfield's mouth. Copious research in humans. Of course, now we have the internet. This information is all readily available. But Jim Davis, he used his life experiences to influence his comic. Like I mentioned before, none of them seem to have the weight of the pipe strip. You have to wonder about the man who was able to even just once create the perfect form, a literally flawless execution of art. Brilliance just isn't a word. Spiritual element. I've seen my share of bad times. When you have something, well, it's just emotions and neurons in your brain, but something tells you that it's the truth. Truth's radiant light. Garfield the cat? Neurons in my brain. It's harmony, you see. John and Garfield. It's truly harmony, like a continuous, looping, everlasting harmony. The lavender chair, the brown end table, the salmon-colored wall, the floor's green carpet, and Garfield is hunched, perched, perhaps with the pipe stuck firmly between his jowls. His tail curls around. It's more than shapes, too, because... Okay, so stay with me. I've done this experiment several times. You take this film, trace only the basic elements. You can do anything. Simplify the shapes down to just blobs, just outlines, but it still makes sense. You can replace the blobs with magazine cutouts of other things. Replace John Arbuckle with a car parked in a driveway sideways. Cut out of a magazine, stick it in. Replace him there in the second panel with a food processor. Okay. And then we put a picture of the planet in the third panel of the dark. I don't know how best to explain why it works. I studied the pipe strip and analyzed John and Garfield's proportions against several universal mathematical constants. Pi, the golden ratio, the Feigenbaum constants, and so on. It's surprising. It's scary. It's wild. You can take just tiny pieces of pipe strip, for instance, and take John's elbow in the second panel. Take that, project it back over John's entire shape in the second panel. You'll see a near perfect Fibonacci sequence emerge. It's brilliant. It makes you wonder if you're in the presence of a deity, a Jarvis is capable of. Me. He is remarkable. But this is so far beyond that, I think we might see that this work of art is revered and respected in years to come. Jim Davis is possibly the master of the craft, the genius of the eye. And very well may say the same things about Jim Davis in 500 years that we see about the great philosophical and artistic masters from centuries ago. Jim Davis is a modern-day Sakura. Da Vinci. Mixing both striking visual beauty with classical daring. Iconic pose here. You can see it in the curl of his tail. Garfield's ear whiskers stick up on end, the smoke billows upward, drawing the eye upward. Increasing scope, I'm just amazed, really, that after 33 years of reading and analyzing the same comic strip, I'm able to find new dimensions. It's a testament to the work. For 6 years, I delved into tobacco research because, can a cat smoke? This is a metaphysical question. Yes. Can any cat smoke? Do we know? Can just Garfield smoke? The research says no. Nicotine poisoning can kill animals, especially household pets. All it takes is the nicotine found in as little as a single cigarette. Surely John's pipe holds a substantial amount of tobacco. And it is true that pets living in the homes of smokers are nearly 25% more likely to develop some form of cancer, most likely due to secondhand smoke. But these are facts of smoking and its tolls on our world. But after visiting two tobacco processing plants in Virginia and the Philip Morris cigarette manufacturing facility, I came no closer to cracking the meaning. A detective of a homicide case has to look at every angle, so I'm always taking apart the pipe strip. I have focused on every motion, every detail of the strip. John Arbuckle's clothing. I have replicas. I'm an expert in textiles, so you see, the smoking thing is a hang-up for me. What was the statement here? Until... This is key. This is the breakthrough. The pipe is not a pipe, really. Obviously, there is symbolism at work here. I saw that from the beginning, and I looked at the literal aspects of the strip to gain insight into the metaphors at play. I worked at a newspaper printing press for 18 months in the late 1980s. I was learning the literal to inform the gestural, the subliteral, the in-between. John reading the newspaper means so much more than just John reading the newspaper. But how could you ever hope to decipher the puzzle without knowing everything there is to know about newspapers? Okay. For example, John holds his paper up with his left hand, thumb gripping the interior. I learned that this particular grip here is the newspaper grip of 19th century aristocrats. And this aristocrat grip was a point of contention that influenced the decision to move forward with Prohibition. in the United States in the early 20th century. So John's hand position is much more than that. It is a comment on class war and the resulting reactionary culture. But I didn't know about the aristocratic newspaper grip until I came across some microfiche archives at the printing press. It's about information. You have to take it apart. And the breakthrough on the smoking cat came late. Just 8 years ago, actually. The smoking cat is an industry term. It's what the smoking industry calls a tattletale teenager who tells on his friends after they've all tried smoking for the first time. Bastardization of the term smoking rat. But the phrase was confused by secret documents going back and forth between China and America. These documents are still secret. The only reason I know about the term is because I know a man, a friend. Let's call him Timothy. Yeah. Yes, it's a big name for his profession. Timothy worked for Philip Morris for 16 years. He had seen the documents. Cigarette companies. This is still a mystery to me. But I connect the dots by noting Jim Davis's childhood experiences on a farm. He must have seen something. Timothy went on to tell me there was one particular smoking cat, a boy. Yes, DM. Side of the tobacco companies for a couple of years. He did more than tattle to his parents. He and his family took legal action. They eventually received a huge settlement payout. But that name was too similar. Bernie Barr. John Barr. It's a rustic use of this. There's more. Bernie Barr spent only half that settlement money on experimental medical procedures. Statements I know of you. The cat has your pipe. cat has your pipe. Remember that. That writing, well, it's kind of rough. Kind of an early 80s feel. And I see that. But I'm still proud of it. Sometimes I imagine that it is the editorial column in the newspaper John Arbuckle is reading. It's an exercise of recursion. It's like a vortex opens up. It's like you hold two mirrors up to each other. One is reality and the other is a cartoon script. Let's see. Oh, yes. I must bring this up because I think surely Jim Davis is again speaking on multiple levels by including the details set before us in the comic. Notice a glimpse of John Arbuckle's foot. Shoe would indicate that maybe the man just has small feet. But a deeper investigation takes us to the foot-binding rituals of certain Asian cultures. Inflicted usually on women for the desire of men, this practice was incredibly painful and crippling. Ah, Mr. Davis is here presenting us with a man, or rather, man, who engages in foot-binding, a body modification for women on top of being without his pipe or impotent. This is a man facing extreme inner turmoil. The panels tell that story subconsciously. Notice the background wall shape of the first panel points inward toward John in the second panel. The sharp, tapered end of the purple pipe in the third frame also points at John in the second panel, inward. The eye is drawn to the center panel. Connect these points and draw a triangle across the panels, and this triangle will align with the reoriented points of John's collar. This is majestic artwork. To uncover this hidden order is less like a comfort.
Scale simply the forces of
still innocent, still draped in the light of the lack of knowledge. He is the humans in the Garden of Eden. He feels for his pipe, but he has yet to eat the tree. And Garfield, the sinister serpent, and notice how Jim Davis is framed in this. Salvation. They'll tear your eyeballs out, rip your gizzards from end to end. They worship this cat, this false idol, this evil, horrible cat. Do not be seduced by the cat in the pipe. Garfield, thy name is a mark of the demons of hell. Something like this, to those listening, it is a stark reminder to follow the path of the first panel chart. Be humble, be grateful. Honor the law and honor thyself. Be true and be good, and no harm will come to you. Pray for salvation, and it will be granted unto you. Be like John Arbuckle as he lowers his head. Be like John Arbuckle as he lowers his paper, as he turns his head. Bow with John Arbuckle and praise unto the Creator, Jim Davis, and banish demon Garfield from your life. So what is all this? What am I saying? Aha. What does all this mean? Why is this one comic strip so important to me? And why do I feel the need to share this? Obligation. I have an obligation to you all. This is redemption. This is a belief in redemption, a sacrifice of all the obvious trappings of this false modern life. Look at the simplicity in this strip, in the pipe strip. Look at the simple clothes John wears. Look at his simple, basic furniture. No adornments on the wall. Even the very pipe his cat Garfield stole, it is a plain, modest pipe. And I have adapted this way of life. It speaks to me. In our times, well, you don't need me to point out the hyperbole of our times. You have children being born 8 or 9 at a time. You have more money spent on a single Hollywood movie than some nations can spend feeding their starving people. Torture. Distrust. Look around you. It's overwhelming. What can you contribute? And every day I look in the mirror and I hold this comic up to the mirror and I look into the mirror and at this little comic strip. Be humble, be thankful. It is a reminder. Be respectful. You are a statue. You are fragile. And when you break, when you shatter, where will those pieces go? Ask, 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 ask this question. Will you ask? Humankind is only as great as you. You, the individual. It begins and ends with you. You must treat this expedition, this search, this life with a reverence and intensity found only in the smallest sticks, the littlest leaf, the tiniest stone, the most minuscule grain of sand on a beach of billions. This is the secret. Do you want the pipe? Do you want to know where the pipe has gone? You ask yourself. You ask. Could my pipe be? When I was a young man, remember now, I first saw this comic when I was 18 years old, ages ago. But I was youthful, vibrant. For weeks I denied that a comic strip was having such a profound effect on me. I was much like John Arbuckle, this middle panel, he says, "Now where could my pipe be?" You can look into his eyes, his half-lowered eyes, and think to yourself, "Now, surely, John, surely you cannot be this naive. This is nothing new for you." And if you've read more of the Garfield comic strips by Jim Davis, you'd understand what I am saying now. Garfield the cat does things like this all the time. He will take things from John. Food, items, anything. This is his very nature. So you see this, and you want to say, "John Arbuckle, come now." You are lying to yourself. You are lying to yourself and to all of us if you pretend to have not any idea where your pipe has gone. Perhaps you think you left it somewhere else, but you're not so forgetful. You are lying to yourself. Yes. You are lying to yourself, John Arbuckle. You know that Garfield has the pipe. Somewhere deep down, you know this. You don't even need to think the question. And that was me when I saw this strip. 1 week passed, and each morning I'd open my drawer and slam it shut again. I would go to look at the comic, but I'd pause and think, "Oh no, I don't need this comic. I don't need to look at it." But there I was, lying to myself. I did need to see it, and so I did. It's cathartic. You give in, and that is the transition from the second panel of life to the third panel of life. It is a simple story structure, the passage from the second act to the third, the twilight of things. John gives in to his suspicions. He knows the truth. He's always known the truth. He yells out, "Garfield! Garfield! Garfield!" There's like pressure from a steam valve being released. The buildup is unbearable, and then, it's gone. So it is like this. When I speak about the truth, the light, the radiance, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. This is the essence of this brilliant work of art. The practical mixing, meeting, agreeing with the spiritual, it is all here. Spirituality is not an easy thing to confront. You might find yourself able to wrap your mind around a simple math problem or a basic newspaper article, but intellect is much less subjective. What is spirituality? And how have I found spiritual peace and serenity in Garfield? A long time ago, after I encountered the pipe strip, I spent some time, as I mentioned before, soul searching. When something impacts you or alters your very perceptions greatly, there is a long period of confusion and recovery time. It's as if you don't know who you are, and that can be a very scary prospect, especially if you thought you had a good grasp on that sort of thing. Imagine if Jim Davis did not know who he was. Would he be capable of shaping the cultural landscape as he's done? No. Of course he couldn't. But how about his characters? John. What if Jim Davis suddenly woke up and didn't know who John was? What if he couldn't make the informed decisions to accurately depict Garfield's personality because he could no longer specify or demarcate the boundaries of Garfield's behavior? What kind of comic would that be? You see? So draw the parallel. I saw this comic, and yes, I was disoriented. And if I didn't reconcile this issue with myself, what kind of person would I be? Undoubtedly dire circumstances, but remember, this was not a math problem. This was not an article. This was not something I could just figure out. And as skeptical as I was, I realized that faith and spirituality were avenues that required exploring. First, I tried long nights, reading Garfield by candlelight, aromatic meditation settings, thinking of Garfield. Nothing snapped. Nothing clicked. I still felt lost. But I kept it up. I hired a shaman and a young personal yogi Sikh guru, Avram Dav Singh Sahib. I pushed and pushed, determined to find myself. upon retrieving my morning paper to clip the Garfield comic, I noticed a young girl selling lemonade two houses down. She sat occupied at her stand. She had no customers in sight. So I approached and saw that she was coloring. I looked at her drawing. Three rectangular boxes. A man in a blue shirt. An orange cat. I knew what this was. Even in her crude scribbles, I knew exactly what this was. She was drawing a Garfield comic. I looked at her words and I saw that in her strip, John asked Garfield to retrieve a newspaper. Funny, since I've done just that for myself. Garfield is sarcastic, but agrees to me. He returns and calls John. Sight. John explains that the paper is all chewed up, but then Garfield says, and I quote, Sahib asks fish, paper is wet. Sahib asks cat, paper is hot. I remember the words and ran back to my house. I thought, how odd that Sahib shows up in the strip, and my spiritual advisor's name is Avram Dav Singh Sahib. Coincidence, sure. Nonetheless, I spent the next 16 hours pouring through my clipped Garfield comics, looking for the strip this young girl had been coloring. I couldn't find it. And I eventually fell asleep right on my kitchen table.
Someone particularly perceptive or picked up by this.
back on track. And you can't spell track without cat.
Okay.
I digress. I got you. Gotcha. Enough. It is established here that Garfield is in a rage. An ultimate rage, fury, and hatred caused by colorblindness. We know the what. We know the why. Let us examine the how. The how of his rage is particularly interesting here. We've looked at his posture and called it powerful, in control. Statuesque, etc., etc. Composed rage. It's peculiar, and I've talked to a number of psychologists and psychiatrists and even a couple of anger management therapists about this concept. Could we see the same kind of behavior in a human? Is Garfield representative of something more specific than just chaos and rage? Deciphering this is going to take some perseverance for sure. The psychologist pointed to a phenomenon in humans, and yes, I believe one of the anger management counselors brought it up as well. The idea that people oftentimes will bottle their rage. Garfield the cat here, well, he could be bottling his anger inside, shoving it deep into his cat gut to ignore and deal with at a later time. Well, no, that's not exactly right. Garfield has already acted out. He's already stolen the pipe. He's smoking the pipe. He's already dealt with his anger. He's already lashed out. So, psychologically, what is going on here? What is this cat doing, and how does it impact his owner, John Arbuckle, psychologically? Well, Garfield is angry. He is acting on his anger. But is this passive anger or aggressive anger? Passive. It is passive because if Garfield has a problem with John specifically, he's choosing a passive way of dealing with that problem. He's not confronted John and said, John, I have a problem with the way you've decorated this room. As a cat, I am colorblind. This sends me into a rage. You've created a rage room for me here, and I don't like it. I want you to change it. Instead of that confrontational approach, Garfield has chosen to steal John's pipe. John decides to be aggressively angry and yell at Garfield. So now, instead of a calm conversation between two respectful partners, you have two angry individuals, each with a problem and no direct line to solving it. The layered emotions here tell a story with tight, focused brevity that would make Hemingway weep. This is an entire drama in just three panels, people. Let's not be remiss and miss the humor of the situation, the absurdity of it all. For certainly there is a reason the visual shorthand for drama includes both a crying mask and a laughing mask. Comedy and tragedy complement each other and meld together to create drama. Tension, the height of humanity, the peak of art that reflects back to us our own condition. And here, in spaces form, we can laugh at this comic, yes, comic. Cat smokes a pipe. When is the last time you've seen such a thing in your life? Never, I presume. I certainly never have. The Greek muse Thalia's presence is strong in this work of art. Comedy. It is comedy. And if you look at the structure again, you'll see this perfect form of thirds works magically for the transmission of, yes, yes, a joke. The joke is as old as time.
Send a Terminator from the future to retcon that.
Yep.
No.
Instead of Connor.
Some of my bitch.
I just watched Dark Fate last night.
Did you?
It's tolerable.
Okay.
That's rave. That is rave review.
That's the best you can say about it. He makes it one.
Oh, my God, my back.